Hey. Pick 'em pop, big gun Brian Petrie, giving out the lot. One is mortal, you know it won't miss. Gonna take a shot. Dog lock, that's the underdog. Yeah, they in the hunt. Send them home, that's KO or submission. Get somebody done.
Slide down ball.
Yeah, that's the parlay. We gon' make it known. Pick 'em pop from MMA tapes. Yeah, let's get it gone.
It is not the Pick 'em Pod. It is the Recap Pod, which, incidentally, I don't have theme music for. But UFC 284 was filled with just some amazing, amazing things to talk about. So I got to hop on and talk about it. Now, I was supposed to do this today, Sunday, right? Middle of the Super Bowl right now. Just watch Rihanna fucking kill it. If you don't think she killed it, you got a big dump in your pants. And I wasn't going to watch the Super Bowl. Wife and kids are at the in-laws for a party. I'm very bitter. You know, very bitter my Bengals aren't there. So I wasn't going to watch it. But I'm a fucking American, so I got to watch it. Rihanna killed it. Recording. Was supposed to record this about 11 a.m. this morning. Then I was supposed to record it about 2 in the afternoon. Your boy got real lazy. Your boy got lazy. He was playing with his kids. We played Mousetrap. We played Break the Ice. When you hammer the ice, you know, my kid loves it. Then I took a long nap. I just ordered some fucking Mexican food, had a couple burritos, and now we're here. So it's a little late because your boys got lazy, got the podcast juice ripping, and I'm ready to talk about UFC 284. We'll recap some of the betting. We'll recap the betting first. Slime ball hit, baby. Slime forever. Slime ball hit. Very confident in slime ball this week. It was plus 180. I think if you got it when I did the podcast, it was plus 180. I think when I end up getting it, because I didn't bet it early this week like an idiot. I think I waited a little bit too long. I got a little less than plus 180. I think I got like, God, what was it? Plus 148, I think is what I got it. So the price changed, obviously. But the sign ball was, Yair Rodriguez. I got it right here. Probably, yeah. Sign ball right there. Yair Rodriguez, mortal lock, crushed it. Looked phenomenal. Jackie, three name Jack, whatever you want to call him. Killed it. And then Loma Lugabumi absolutely killed it. Obviously, women's MMA makes you a little nervous. Loma had a rough first round. She got reversed on the ground, which is very surprising. But then fucking took that neck. Yair looked like a killer in there. I only got hit once with that big clubbing right hand. Kind of froze him a little bit, but looked phenomenal. And then Jack Della Milena, once he found his range, he's a fucking problem. We're going to get through all that. But hit the slime ball. Nice little cash, 2-2 on the year, 2-2 on the year, love it, right? 50% batting, 50, whatever the fuck, I don't know. More lock hit, yeah, Rodriguez, send him home, Tyson Pedro, whew, missed that, big time, lost that, and then my dog lock was Blake Builder, and so we had an okay night, a positive night. Let me pull up Tatum Temple, the amazing Tatum Temple. She's been doing my bet MMA tips for me because I am so lazy and I act like it's like the biggest deal in the world. So I'm kind of curious how I did on that. So what she does is she takes all my picks, puts in all my picks at one unit, right? Even though I don't play every pick, I want to track all my picks, right? I didn't obviously put a unit on every pick, but so let's see what I did last night. I feel like I picked pretty good. I went 8-4, 8-4-1 on my picks. Yeah, we're up. We're up 198, which is nice. We were down 7-1 the last card. God damn. I went 3-7. 3-7 on the road to the UFC final. Derek Lewis for Sergey Spivak. I haven't looked at that. Cash profit -701. Yeesh. So if you're betting unis, every fucking fight I pick last week was an absolute joke. So 171 is what the odds that she put in for me is what I got. Like I said, I got a little less, but I hit the parlay. And then, like I said, I went 8-4 in my picks with that draw of Menafield Crute, which was nice. But yeah, so obviously that's not typically, you know, the way I bet, but I want to track all my picks to make sure we're doing we're just tracking all the picks this year. See what we got. See if I'm up. See if I'm down. See if I'm around. Right. And again, I could always, you know, I've told her on the podcast, I could always say, hey, maybe add a different unit to this. Whatever. We'll figure that down the road. But she's killing it. She's doing a great job. So listen, Let's start with what everyone wants to talk about, right? Whew. By the way, I am the bet of my tips was actually correct. I am like I'm up like 1.9 units, almost $200 week for your boy. Hit the slime ball, hit a couple live bets. Was close on Volkanovski, which is where we're gonna get to, man. Close on that 300. Woo! So I had Volkanovski like two different ways plus live. So I had him three different ways, and I really thought he had a shot. So let's get into it, right? So the way your boy scored the fight, I got a ton of DMs, well, a handful of DMs, ton of messages on Twitter. The engagement last night with the people on Twitter is amazing. I only have 2,000, I think I got 2,100 now. I just broke 2,100. But the engagement I get from everybody is so fucking dope. I feel like I got 100,000 followers. It's amazing. Keep doing your thing, Twitter. But I couldn't answer everyone because I was at my buddies watching the fights, went home, went to sleep, you know, and that's why I'm doing the podcast to address it. So, a lot of confusion. I had it scored 3-2 Islam. It comes down to that fucking second round, man, and I need to watch it back. I had not watched it back, but reading the stats, reading Twitter, reading, watching the Joe Rogan and all those guys think of Volkanovski won. I know they're a little drunk, but they all thought he won. And then, like I said, reading the stats and everything, you're like, man, Volkanovski looked pretty good. It was clear to me 3 and 5 were Volkanovski's rounds. Clear round 1 and round 4 to Islam. So you're looking at round 2. Verdict, which is a great app, shout out Verdict. They have the fan vote and people score judge, you know, and it's usually pretty good. They had Volkanovski winning. Sean Sheehan, who was on Anakin Florian, he's like a scoring expert. I know a lot of people disagree with him, but he is like literally by the book, the way it's written is the way he scores fights. He scored it for Volkanovski. Most of the media members had it for Islam. I had it for Islam, 3-2. But now I'm fucking doubting myself. Now I'm doubting myself because I got to go back and watch round 2. Because round 1, Islam, towards the end, he had his back a little bit. Didn't really do anything, but had his back in the cage, whatever, round ended. Round 2, feels like Volkanovski did a little bit, but Islam was landing on the feet. That's very surprising. Islam's timing and power and speed on the feet were great. His distance management was great as well. I knocked Islam's stand-up on the Anakin Florian, my own show. I said, there's no way he stands with Volkanovski and wins his fight. He's still with Volkanovski, dropped him. I know he might not get a credit for a drop, but he clipped him on the side of the head, put him to a knee, and was landing some big shots, some good shots, some stiff shots on him as well. So round 2, I'll have to go back and rewatch. Round 3, I thought was Volkanovski's round. He looked pretty good. There a lot of those grappling exchanges that the Volkanovski did enough to reverse position or get away and then land some good strikes as well. Round 4, obviously, Volkanovski, I took him down, was talking shit to the corner, and they got his back taken the entire round. That's obviously a drop round. Then round 5, comes out, drops Islam, gets on top, and he's dangerous on top, and he looked phenomenal. Islam, obviously, in that 5th round, not going to say he was gassed, but he was faded a little bit. There's a picture of him on his back holding Volk. Like he's fucking shook, right? He's like, oh, shit. Incredible fight. I tweeted out, this is why we love MMA. This is fucking high-level stakes. All the stakes on the line. Money, reputation, pound for pound, the belt. You got the crowd. You got your reputation. You got your teams that are very proud teams. You have all on the line here. And it was such a competitive fight. I had such a bad read on this fight. I picked Volkanovski because of his confidence. His confidence really helped me. But to be honest with you, I picked him because of the number. Plus 310, I got him out. And then plus 300, I got him a second time. And I got him live at like, what was it? Plus 235 is what I got him live in the 3rd round. So I had him 3 different ways, and it's just a great number on a guy. And then I'm like, the way the judging was last night, I'm like, listen, 3rd round, before he won the 3rd round, I'm like, listen, Volkanovski's not out of this. Like, 2nd round was very close. This guy could take these next 3. So that's why I hammered the live bet. This is why MMA is the fucking best, right? I got the Super Bowl going on right now. I don't give a fuck, right? I want to talk about this fight, right? It's just high drama. It was incredible. Just everything about it. I don't say this lightly, and you rarely hear me say this because regency bias always gets in the way of it. Like, people be like, that's the best knockout I've ever seen. That's the best performance I've ever seen. Best submission I've ever seen, right? I rarely do that. Rarely. I mean, maybe I get a little too ahead of myself at times, But rarely I'm pretty reserved. I go, that's one of the best or whatever. This might be one of the best. No, no, no. This is definitely top five best fights for me. I mean, there's more exciting slobber knocker type fights out there, but I love this high level shit. Fucking two guys not willing to quit, everything on the line, the storyline behind it, just everything, you know, that added to this fight to make it great. That's why it's so good, right? Of course, there were some lulls in the action or whatever, and you know, the round four is kind of a dud, but my dog's going crazy. I'm going to kill him. But just everything else beside on this fight, I fucking love it, man. I do. That's why I love Chuck and Mandalay so much. Chuck and Mandalay, I mean, when I was coming up as an MMA fan, I'm on Sure Dog Forums, hammering away saying Chuck's better than Mandalay, right? Chuck went over to Pride in his prime. That's hard to say. Pride in his prime. To fight Vanderlei, ran into Rampage Jackson, never got the chance. But Vanderlei was running Pride. Chuck was running, eventually got to the UFC, ran the UFC. But before that, he hadn't been champion. They finally meet up, maybe past their primes a little bit. You know, I know they both continue fighting a little bit. Definitely Chuck passed his prime. But incredible fight, right? A lot of people might not put that as their top five, but the history and the story and everything behind it, I fucking love it, man. I could watch that fight all the time. This is up there with that because of the fact that I didn't know what was going to happen. It was a number play for me. And I just said, you know what? Islam could go out there, take him down and fucking arm triangle choke him or rear naked choke him. We don't know. Islam was confident that's what he was going to do. And Volkanovski was confident that's not going to happen. Both guys really blew me away. I think I lean more towards Volkanovski. I know Islam needs to get some credit. He is the pound for pound best right now. He just beat the pound for pound best, regardless of what you think the decision is. I know that is, but that's just the way it is. If they rematch, we can talk about that down the road. But his striking looked very good. He threw off Volkanovski in the striking. Volkanovski could not close that distance. Volkanovski had a longer reach and is a master at closing distance. And he couldn't figure out the timing and he couldn't figure out the distance with Islam. Also, the wrestling and the fact that he didn't want to commit his hips to some of these strikes as Islam could come in. He's so strong, blah, blah, blah. And then Volkanovski with his confidence, his takedown defense, and then not only his takedown defense, but his get-up game from getting taken down was impressive. He got his back taken. Obviously, he was good there, confident there, knew he wasn't going to get choked. But some of those scrambles on the mat, like you saw Dustin Poirier try to hit those same switches on Khabib, couldn't work. Volkanovski worked diligently on improving those switches, improving those positions, because Islam was going for a lot of body lock takedowns, trying to get the hips, trying to muscle the hips, and Volkanovski had different ways to get out of it. It was fucking amazing. So Volkanovski, even though he didn't look great in the stand-up, in my opinion, I felt like he was a little off and he started a little slow. His grappling was incredible because he was undersized. Obviously, he's a 45er. Thick, you know, he's a thick guy, right? But he is undersized. Islam's huge. And he handled it well. He said in the corner, he's not strong, right? And maybe he was baiting me to think he's not strong. He didn't feel strong to me, which is dope. And then Islam, though, just showed a lot of heart. The only thing with Islam, though, is every time he got hit hard, though, he flopped like a bitch. That's just, you know, that's a take. MMA takes, I just took that. MMA takes, I just take that. Listen, he got hit, he flopped. Got hit, he flopped. So every clean shot he got hit with, he panicked, which I don't like seeing in a pound-for-pound best. That fifth round, he got hit with a huge right hand, flopped to his face, went to his back, and then Volk took over. Volk could have went 10 rounds. Islam, I don't think, goes 10 rounds. You know, this is Nate Diaz rules now, where it's like, hey, let's go to the fucking one of us passes out or whatever the fuck. Like, Volk's not losing that. Volk was in supremely good shape, was trained well, and I love his post-fight. He's like, I don't know if I won. It was close. Watch the fight back. He's like, hey, I think I won 2-3-5 for sure. Islam thinks he won the entire fight at the last minute. So both guys think they won, and it's nuts. I got to watch it back. But again, my initial scorecard's 3-2. Don't come at me, because I know a lot of people have Volk, and Volk's the guy that is more likable and rooted for, and he was the underdog. So you watch his underdog come up and perform as well as he did. It's amazing in front of that Perth, Australia crowd, which is sounded so loud. I mean, again, I've always said this. You know, I bleed red, white, and blue, but the Australians, Europeans, and I would even throw Canada in there as well. I mean, there's some really good crowds in the United States, but those three guys, especially the Australia number one, they're some of the best crowds, some of the best fans in the sport, without a question. I get DMs from guys from Australia all the time. They're super passionate, super great guys, and they love this sport. Like, they love it, and I love it, and they fucking show up and show out at the crowd, you know, and that crowd last night in Perth was incredible. Incredible. But yeah, so gun to my head, without watching it again, I'm going Islam 3-2. My buddy that I watched it with, a very keen eye, the same guy I took to Vegas with me. We watched a lot of the fights together. My buddy Schmitty, old Schmitty, he thought Volk won. He's like, dude, it's close. I lean Volk, right? And that's a good trained eye. That's a guy who knows what he's talking about. Not just some fucking guy who had a bet on Volkanovski. That's like, oh, I'm going Volkanovski because I win my ticket or whatever. No, he's like, I think Volk won. So it's interesting. It's interesting because, again, I had a bad read on the fight. And I didn't know what was going to happen. Either Volk was going to exceed my expectations, which he did, or Islam was going to steamroll through him. There's never a situation, if these guys rematch, where Islam steamrolls them. Ever. Never going to happen. Volk is that good. Undersized, understrength, whatever. If Volk turns his stand up on just a little more, finds his range a little bit earlier, it's a different fight, for sure, right? Because every time he touched Islam clean, he hurt him. A lot of those like glancing blows and stuff, Islam took well. But when he hit him clean, he hurt him. Islam panic and panic shot. And then obviously Volk saw those coming. So incredible main event. This sport is the best in the fucking world for a reason. Woo, I'm jacked the fuck up. You know what I mean? No, it's not just the podcast juice. I'm jacked up even thinking about the fight. I love that fucking fight. And before I get ahead of myself, before we go to the featherweight title fight, give it up to Jens Pulver. Finally, a true, true pioneer for the little guys, for the little weight class. Jens Pulver getting into the UFC Hall of Fame, long overdue. He runs like the UFC's Twitch channel or whatever. He does that. Seems like a great, great dude. Never met him or anything. Obviously, growing up, I was a big BJ Penn fan. So like I had times where I didn't root for Jens, you know what I mean? Because like, you know, him and BJ are rivals, but it's impossible not to because Jens was so likable. One of the very first MMA documentaries to come out there, Driven, came out, oh God, maybe, you know, 12, 13 years ago. Unbelievable documentary about his life. Had a very tough life. And yeah, Little Evil in the UFC Hall of Fame. This summer he's getting inducted. Long overdue. The video where he, because he was live streaming the fights on Twitch or commenting or whatever they do on Twitch. I'm not a Twitch guy, but his son came in and hugged him. He's crying. It's fucking beautiful, dude. That shit's beautiful. I don't give a fuck if you think you're the toughest dude in the world. I don't cry for shit. I got tattoos on my dick, dude. I don't give a fuck. No, that shit was good. I mean, I didn't cry. I'm not a crier. I'm a broken human being, but that got me in the feels. He long overdue. I mean, this guy literally is a pioneer. First lightweight champion. What was literally got cut from the UFC because they didn't do the small guys anymore, went over to Pride, did his thing or whatever. And the guy wasn't a true 155er. The guy was a small 55er. Like, he's a 45er, 35er. But that's the only weight class they offered. True pioneer, incredible fighter in his prime as well. Left hand from hell, great boxing, great personality, good defensive wrestling, and just seems like a good fucking dude who's been through a lot in his life, and it was long overdue. So shout out Jens Pulver. What a fucking stud. Speaking about stud, Yair Rodriguez. Oh, man. I was super confident in this fight. I had a nice little a guy on Twitter who follows me. He's a huge UFC fan. He was back in Emmett, right? And it was like a fight day. We were exchanging tweets. And he doubted me a little bit. He made me doubt myself a little bit because he obviously knows the fight game. He's a sharp himself. So I was like, man, you know, this fucking guy's really backing Emmett. You know, is my read on Yair wrong? And I just, this is the fight. I obviously didn't see it ending in submission. I thought Yair was just going to be too much on the feet. I think Josh Emmett's very good. His boxing's good, but he's limited to just the boxing. Now, there's obviously the rumors of the hip injury, whatever. I don't know how true those are. But Yair's kicks were going to be the make difference. I said in the ankle flooring, I thought it was going to be a high kick. It was those body kicks. I mean, Emmett, I wouldn't be surprised if he's got broken ribs. He got kicked to the body hard multiple times. And then Yair follows up those kicks with fast, lightning fast hands. Yair in the first round got caught, though. He got hit on the top of the head, kind of the side of the head, and he wobbled a little bit, and he went to the ground, and Emmett capitalized on the ground. That had me worried a little bit. But once you settle down and Yair has just so much range on him, I think Yair rushed a little bit. You know, that's that warrior spirit. I'm going to fucking get in there and get nasty. Because he exchanged a few times with Emmett, and I'm just like, ooh, keep your distance. Not to mention, the big knock on Yair, and I've said this, was the guy gets put down, gets put on his back, he's a fish out of his water, right? When he got put on his back, elbows coming, fucking trying to cut your goddamn head open, right? Nasty elbows, feet on the hips, got a good triangle, got a good armbar, threaten with that. They're worried about that while he's fucking elbowing you. That's some crafty shit, right? And he's strong. He's got strong legs. Worked back to his feet pretty well. Emmett's not a very big submission guy in the ground, but he does have some pretty good ground and pounding. And Yair nullified most of that besides round one. He got teed up a little bit on the ground after, you know, getting clipped a little bit. But unreal performance by Yair. I know people want to run back Islam Volk, which I'd be happy with. But I need to see Yair fight more. You know, he's very inconsistent with what he fights. He wants to go to Mexico City to fight Volk, which I feel like might be a little unfair because Volkanovski is the, you know, let's just say this. Islam pound for pound 1A, Volkanovski pound for pound 1B. I know we don't do rankings like that, but that's how it is. So Volkanovski's still pound for pound the best, you know, and Islam's 1A, 1B, you get it. I don't think the pound for pound best needs to go to Mexico City to fight for his title, right? I think, you know, you do it in Vegas, you do it in the States, whatever, neutral ground. Well, not really neutral ground because, I mean, Mexico's in North America. But you know what I mean. But that fight, I'm looking forward to. If they run back Islam Volk, I'm fine with it, right? Islam's talking, you know, he wants Dariush, he wants Charles, they're fighting in May, whatever. But if they run Volk back because they both think they won, I wouldn't mind it at all. Do it in Abu Dhabi, do it in the States, whatever. I think you could probably sell in the States now. But Yair needs to fight more. I don't care if it's Volk. I don't care if he defends his interim against someone else at 45, whenever Max and Arnold Allen. I don't know if Max is going to get a title shot if Volk wins, but he does have a win over a year, so that's a fun fight. Arnold Allen's a fucking beast. Arnold Allen should have maybe been in this spot, but couldn't make the date. So a lot of parts moving at 145. Point is, fucking Yair Rodriguez, stud. Speaking of my studs, Jackie, three names, Jack looked unreal, looked a little slow, weight cut scared me a little bit. He was kind of shaking at the, but I hate how the interview guys, like immediately after they weigh in, right? He's a big, thick kid for 170, you know, weight cut's probably not the easiest thing, and they're weighing him in, he's kind of twitching a little bit, didn't like the optics, but Randy Brown came out touch and go, man, that's his nickname, right? Come out using his long range and using his weapons, and Jack kind of had to like find his distance a little bit. Touch the body, touch the legs a little bit, kind of headhunted a little bit early for me, but I'm not going to nitpick his performance because once he landed one shot, it was over. And then the submission was like, where the fuck did this come from, right? This dude's like, hey, I got ground game. I got it all, right? I got it all. And he proved it. Four first round finishes now in a row. I think he's like setting a record. So step up in competition is needed. Randy Brown was a big step up. Randy Brown's very good. But you're looking at like a Vicente Luque. You're looking at someone who we called out, by the way. You're looking at someone that's going to really test him because Vicente Luque is great on the feet, even though he just got butchered on his feet his last fight, right? Good on the ground. So Dalla Milena, Jackie Three Names, babe. I don't know what. Who's going to stop this guy? I mean, literally, like you're going to have to really test him with like a really, really good wrestler. It's the only way. A guy at 170, that's just going to take him down. You're looking at if Chimaev goes back to 70, that's a fight. Shafkat Rakhmonov, Grant Neal, if he wins, who's got great boxing. There are some names. I mean, those are high-level names right now. I don't want to rush the guy. But if he goes out there and say he gets Vicente Luque, right, who we called out, which makes sense. If he goes out there and he finishes Vicente in the first round, you got to propel him top five. Right. You have to. You have to put this guy on the fast track because he's going to butcher everyone else. This kid's a real deal. Right. I keep saying kid. Some guy came at me. Quit saying kid. He's a grown man or whatever. I'm sorry. It's like an East Coast thing, dude. I know I'm not technically East Coast, but Cincinnati is East Coast, Midwest, East Coast. And we say kid a lot. I'm sorry. I know they're grown men. I'm a grown man, too. I'm 36. If they're younger than me, I think I can call them a kid. But I know it's probably annoying to some people. I apologize. It's the way I talk. Go fuck yourself. Huh? I don't do that. You know what I mean?
Dead air.
Big old drink. All right. I didn't want to stay long. I wanted to be like 30 minutes. We're at 24. So Jack and Melania look amazing. Justin Taffa. Bad read on my part on Parker Porter. Absolutely just walked into a left hand. Like, what are you doing, Steakhouse? Steakhouse! Walking into left hands with your hands down? What are you doing, Parker Porter? Probably done in the UFC. Taffa. I want to see his brother fight. I heard his brother, Junior, is amazing. Jimmy Crew, Alonzo Menifield draw. I had Menifield in this as a dog shot here. I had it by knockout. Thought I had both those, right? The point needed to happen. I agree with the point. You grab the cage in a third round slop dog fight that could prevent you to going to the ground. You grab that cage the way you did. You got to take a point. No hard feelings. I love that point taken by Goddard. Menifee would have won the fight probably if he didn't get that point taken. He lost the third round. Judges had him win the first two. Had Jimmy Crute dead on his feet. Don't know what kept Jimmy Crute up, but it is what it is. Tyson Pedro versus Bukauskas. Bukauskas looked very sharp, very good. I even said on the Anakin Florian, I'm not going to put much much on Tyson Pedro because I don't know about his cardio yet. I picked him, and then I even added him to the extra slime. So I won the slime ball with a full unit. And then the extra slime was a half unit, which I lost. But I made up for it for some other wins or whatever like that. I bet Bukauskas live after that first round when I saw Pedro. Pedro had a great first round, but he looked tired. I hammered Bukauskas live after that first round, which kind of made up for that half unit loss there on the extra slime. But Pedro, again, I know he got sent to the hospital. He had some pre-fight stuff, he said, but cardio, man. ABC, always bet cardio. And Tyson Pedro has proven not to have cardio. He got a little bit of a second win, but he still was limited in his game. Takedowns non-existent. He got a good takedown the first round, which basically wiped out his cardio. Stand up limited when you're tired. Got good kicks. I felt like he could have done more. Not a great performance, but Bukauskas blew his knee out, worked his way back to the UFC, and got a nice little win here over a highly touted prospect who I had finished him. I had Bukauskas getting finished here. I mean, it was plus money on Pedro to win with inside the distance, so I took it. It was like plus 100 when I got it. That's a bet I'm always going to take. You know what I mean? And Pedro just did not show up, look great. Or did not look great. Coolabah was Melsick. I had Coolabah in this fight. I was confident. I love the pick'ems. The only problem is I didn't go with my read and fucking hammer it early. Rough first round for Coolabah. Got kicked in the nuts, or spin back kicked in the nuts. Bloody on the face. Was a beat behind Melsick, who looked strong in there. And then Melsick made one decision, and Coolabah got his neck. It's fucking over. Good for Coolabah. I think he's a scrappy dude, right? He's just going to be in these fights. And I thought this was going to be a really close fight. So I did have Coolabah winning. And then I also had him by decision, which was plus money. And he obviously didn't win by decision. It was his first career fucking submission. So who the hell could have predicted that? But yeah, this was, I love pick'em fights, right? And this was a pick'em fight that I was confident in. I wish I would have took that confidence, slapped the nuts on the table, just fucking plopped them on the table and hammered the betting line. I did it, chickened out a little bit. What are you going to do? Clemson Rodriguez versus Shannon Ross. I got Clemson at plus 220. Yeah, plus 220 for knockout, stealing. Shannon Ross has no chin. It was the body that got him, but Clemson has good striking. The only way he's going to get slowed down is if you really grapple heavy. And I don't think Shannon Ross probably shouldn't be in the UFC, but they're in Perth, they're in Australia. He's a likable guy. He's a scrappy dude. He's going out there and banging. He ain't going out there and trying to take dude down. And Clemson just got him to the body early, and it was over first round. Clemson looked pretty good. Obviously, I need to still see a little more of him. But again, I heard about this kid before the Contender Series. I heard about him. There was rumblings online of the guys I follow who really recruit these, you know, like, who are on the guys who aren't in the UFC yet. Then I'll maybe pick a name out and I'll go watch him. He's very talented. Dropped, you know, didn't look good against CJ Vergara, but looked good here. Still a little work in progress. Jamie Malarkey over Prado. Prado, tough young kid here. Malarkey pieced him up. That was an easy read. I thought Malarkey was going to finish. He didn't. I had Malarkey and Jack Jenkins in a parlay, day of parlay. I just said, you know what? Let's put a unit on these guys. Get the ball rolling. Get a nice little bankroll going on this little two-fight parlay. Start live betting the other spots. And then Jack Jenkins looked good as well. The only complaint I have Jack Jenkins, I tweeted about this, his stand-up's great. The liver shot, the liver to the, you know, the left hook, hey, move to the body, the leg kick's amazing, movement great, distance great, but he was having problems in the grappling. He was dominating, but then he would get reversed. And then he would, you know, you're giving Don Shaynes his best opportunity on the mat. Third round, coming out, he was winning the fight, and his corner goes, don't take it to the ground. Keep your space. Keep your kicks. Touch the body. He goes to the ground. That's a young fighter feeling comfortable, more comfortable on the ground. That's his first martial art, is probably grappling, and that's what he felt comfortable with. But if he would have kept with the leg kicks, I know Shane is a tough guy, kept with the leg kicks, kept with the body punches, kept with the volume, and that was the third round. I'm going to slow him down a little bit, but he seemed to be in great shape. That could have been a finish there. He finished the fight great, but, you know, he really entertained the grappling, which I thought early in the fight, he was getting reversed sometimes and get put on his back. He got fucking mounted at one point. It's like, you know, why play with fire when this guy is obviously decent on the ground and he's making you pay for it. Stand on your feet. But other than that, Jack Jenkins looked great. Loma Luka Boomi, rough first round, talked about it. She was in the slime ball, first leg, fucking took a neck. The second round, Blake Builder, dog lock, not overly impressed. The guy talked a ton of shit. months ago when this fight got announced, talked ton of shit. Fight week, they said on the broadcast, Johnny Anik said this guy was super confident coming into the fighter meeting. And you go out there and you do that. You're 32 years old. You had 38 amateur fights. You're 32. You're starting your career late. You're getting experience. Cool. Shane Young's a good fighter. He's a tough fighter, but he's a fighter that you can go out there and look good against if you're that dude. I think you just proved you're not that dude. You got a loud mouth, but you're not that dude. But thank you, cashing as an underdog for me. And then the first fight, Zoobs versus Brenner, I thought was a robbery. I thought that was a really, really bad decision. I had Zoobs winning. It was a close fight. You know, again, I don't say robbery all that often. If you watch me on the podcast or you listen to me, I mean, you know me. I don't say robbery much. I think that was a robbery. I think Zoobs won that fight easily. Maybe you could have given Brenner one round because, again, it was a scrappy fight, but that was pretty egregious in my opinion. I had a little bet on Zoobs, just a tiny little dollar amount to try to get the live betting going, you know, to start off with a bang. And I'm like, let's just put it on the favorite, right? I almost had Zoobs by decision was going to be my play. But like, put the $50 on, win $3, and then we move on. And, you know, so I dropped the ball there. But yeah, I regardless of me losing money, I think that was a bad performance. So performances of the night. I mean, you got Volk Islam, Yair, Jack Della Molina, Justin Taffa, Clinton Rodriguez, maybe Jack Jenkins, maybe Luma Lukabumi, maybe. My top three performances of the night. I know someone said they want me to bring the star system back. I might do that. I might do it. But my top three would be Jack Della Molina, Islam, Volk, tied in that year. I was really impressed with that year, guys. I think that dude, especially, he's 30 years old, 31 years old, whatever he is. Whew, unbelievable. So that is my card. That is UFC 284. Unbelievable. All right, so that's it. That's the recap show. I want to hop on and do a real quick recap. Pick them later this week. We got Jessica Andrade versus Aaron Blanchfield now. What? I was going to hammer Aaron Blanchfield over Telos Santos. I'm a big Aaron Blanchfield Sarah fan. Kieran, who listens to the show religiously, big time fan. He is obsessed with Aaron Blanchfield physically, emotionally. He needs to ask her on a date if he's not married or involved or whatever. He sends me DMs of her saying, look how hot she is, right? Very cute girl. But Andrade is a different fucking beast. Different beast. Last thing before we go. Hopefully, I'll have it done by the Pick'em. Pick'em will be out Wednesday. I've been working diligently on getting a new t-shirt thing. So, I owe people t-shirts. The website I went to before is just let me down. Just let me down, and I pulled it. I deleted the store, pulled it. I went to two local spots that I know. I delivered to one I got recommended to me. Two local spots to do on-demand printing, me buying the shirts and then shipping them out myself. For me to do that, for that to happen, I would have to charge like $32, $38, $40 for a shirt just to make like a little bit of profit. I'm not looking to make any money, right? But I'm not looking to lose money, spend money on these shirts. You know what I mean? So I did diligent research. I've emailed several companies. I found a company, and they're kind of local as well. They're in Northern Kentucky is where they ship out of, and they print. And that will be up and running. I have lost all my designs from the other website. So I'm currently doing similar designs of like the Value Boys, Club 1K, Slimeball Parlay, the new logo, whatever. I'm currently getting those all ordered, all mocked up, right? And I got a couple new shirts coming as well. So the next podcast, hopefully, fingers crossed, you know, your boy's lazy. Before the show begins, I'll have a whole display, you know, like an ad of the shirts. Link will be to buy the shirts, whatever. No pressure to buy, but when that launches, the people that I owe shirts to will be getting shirts for sure, right? I owe people who did the YouTube comments on the shirts. So just wanted to update everyone there. I do get email. I get DMs about shirts all the time and stuff. Your boy launched a shirt, his shirt website, when I had like 20 listeners, 20 followers. The idea of me having a shirt with my logo and whatever on it was like literally day one stuff I wanted. Now that I got a little itty bitty 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 following and people have requested for shirts and stuff, which fucking warms my heart. It's dope, right? It's super dope. So I've bounced around a few shops or whatever, and they just haven't been this shop seems to be the one, the go-to. Now, the shipping is still going to be out of my hands, but I'm hoping that won't be an issue because the last website, shipping and printing was out of my hands, and there was just delays every fucking 2 seconds. So that's the updates on the shirts. Follow me on Twitter, at Brian Petrie MMA. Same thing on Instagram. Follow me on both of those. Subscribe to the YouTube channel, MMA Takes Podcast on YouTube. Is that it? Is that the fucking show? UFC 284, the main event, absolute fire. Got another one this weekend, up 1.9 units, almost $200. Let's turn that to 1,000 next weekend, boys, huh? Easy enough. Sounds easy. Let's fucking go. Let's make some picks with our man, Brian Petrie. Motherfuckers. Perfect week for Brian Petrie yet again. Motherfuckers. Let's make some picks with our man, Brian Petrie.